This week on See Here's the Thing.
We just celebrated a year of being engaged.
Paul just survived a tornado.
Gonna kill you.
I thought I had killed her. Thought she was dead.
We'll see if we can sneak it in without
Slip
anybody
it in.
Know.
Get it in.
That's right. See if you can just squeeze it in there.
Poke it in.
Yep.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Oh,
Han. It's a hard C.
Okay.
That was my nickname in college.
You have pretty eyes.
Danny Elfman man. It's not like a ding 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 bell. You son of a bitch. We're back from vacation. Episode 57 starts right about now. Welcome back to another episode of See, Here's
wow.
the Thing.
Low energy welcome back.
I was trying for an NPR introduction. I was thinking about this in the shower this morning.
Nailed
I was like,
it.
I introduced the episode pretty much the same way every time. And like, I thought we should start with a musical number. We should start just, we tried the high octane once.
Yeah, we tried that once.
That did not work.
Sure.
So I was just like, welcome back to another episode of See, Here's the Thing. This is the podcast where pop culture
I'm bored already. Stop
and
it.
Humor collide. We will be with you for the next 39 minutes.
Oh my God, stop it.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Oh.
Anyway,
yeah.
Patrick, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
You know,
actually, I'm not fantastic.
Why aren't you fantastic?
I'm a little sad.
Why are you sad?
Because we just had an awesome vacation and we're back now.
Yeah, you get a little let down after.
I'm a little.
But you know what? Why you should be incredibly happy?
Why is that?
We just celebrated a year of being engaged.
Oh, we did, didn't we?
Together.
That was you.
That was me.
I forgot.
I was the one that did that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we have been. So happy anniversary.
Happy engagement-versary.
Yeah, which I hope to God we don't have to celebrate every single year.
Oh, we do. Along with the actual, the wedding rehearsal.
Oh,
the wedding ceremony.
Exhausting.
But before we get into that,
okay.
we did just spend a wonderful week in Florida. We were at Disney World and Universal Studios.
Yes, we were.
And we saw a lot.
Yeah.
We experienced a lot.
Touched a lot of things.
Specifically, the new Pandora Land.
Wonderful.
At Disney's Animal Kingdom. If you have never been to Disney World, and you have never been to Animal Kingdom, obviously, you need to go on the Flight of Passage ride.
It 10 is, out of 10 would recommend.
10 out of 10 would recommend. It was awesome. It's a 3D ride, but you're riding like your own personal jet ski, and you're flying on a banshee, which is like a big winged creature from Avatar, and it smells. It's water.
Does it smell like it?
Well, no, you smell like beach and stuff like that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Oh my God, it was so cool! I cried.
So cool.
I cried. I cry on rides. I like
so cool.
a lot. But anyway, we're gonna talk a little bit more about that. But
excellent.
First of all,
uh-huh.
There's somebody else in the room.
There is?
Yeah. You may have heard
Is it Emmanuel?
You may have heard him chuckle.
Okay.
He had just a little chuckle just back then.
Okay.
We have today Paul Combs from the CNC Geek Cast. Hi, Paul.
Yay. Hey, guys.
How's it going?
It's great, actually. I'm so excited to be a part of this wonderful show.
Woo!
We're happy to have you here. And fun note, listeners, Paul just survived a tornado.
Kinda, sort of.
Kinda.
Well, that may be a slight exaggeration.
Paul, in my mind, you are a tornado survivor.
That's right. Storm chaser.
He is a storm chaser.
From his basement.
Despite the winds outside, he is still podcasting right now.
God
that is the level
him.
Of commitment he has for yeah. podcasting.
Where in the world are you located there, Paul?
A little town outside of Atlanta, Georgia.
So you are experiencing right now, what is it, Tropical Storm Sydney? No, what is it called?
I'm actually not sure. One of those tropical storms.
Yeah.
So
I know it has a name. I can't remember what it is. But so you
I
are.
I can't remember the name though.
You like, are surviving right now. Tell us about your podcast. Tell us what you do.
Well, my friend and I just like to take one movie at a time and just talk about why we love it, or just give a short review. Our podcast is about 30 minutes, so it's easily digestible. We just break it down, break down the plot, break down the characters, break down everything. It's fantastic.
And how long have you been podcasting?
Well, coming up on a year, August 1st.
Oh, well, so congratulations.
Kind of excited about that one.
So what was your last podcast? What movie did you tear apart?
I can answer that one.
Can you?
Yes, I can. He did The Mummy.
Oh, the new one?
No. No, let's not talk about that mess. No,
okay.
The
I actually
one.
Had no desire to watch the new one. I'm not a Tom Cruise fan, and the trailers just didn't look good.
No, it's actually funny because when we were in Universal, one of our favorite rides is the Mummy ride. And it's so dated now. I mean, that it was like, what, 1999? Mm-hmm. But it's still one of our favorite rides there.
That's a great ride.
It's a great ride. And Brendan Fraser's in it, and he's corny as ever.
Do you know who loves that ride?
Who loves that ride?
Judy Amatuza.
My mother. No, she hates that ride. Fun fact, my mother was a trooper last year when we took her to Universal and Disney. She rode almost every ride, including the Mummy. My mother hates roller coasters, and the Mummy is kind of a roller coaster. So at one point during the ride, her head, like, slammed over onto my shoulder. I thought I had killed her. I thought she was dead. She wasn't dead. She survived. But that was one of our favorite rides. So, Paul...
I actually agree with that. That was a fantastic ride. I love that false stop when you go up and you see the person in the booth and it's...
Yes!
The fake out. Oh, that's fantastic.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I forgot about that, actually. And I thought, wow, that was a short ride. And then I was like, no, it goes back down. But Paul has been to Universal Studios.
Oh,
and
fantastic.
I'm so excited to talk to him because he's been during Halloween Horror Nights.
Awesome. We've heard wonderful things.
That was an incredible experience. It was actually back in 2015. So they change out the houses every year. But anyway, they had some incredible houses.
So we are huge fans of haunted houses. We try to go to as many as we can. So we've never been down. Take us through what you see, what you hear, what you do down there.
Well, when I went, they had 13 houses. And we had actually made a mistake on our booking. And we had scheduled to have everything done in one night. So my fiance and I went ahead and splurged for the VIP passes. So what we got to do is we got a personal tour of every single house. They had some fantastic houses. They had an American Horror Story house.
Oh, wow.
Freddy vs. Jason, The Walking Dead, which they do a Walking Dead thing every year. There was the Purge house.
The Christopher Walken Dead?
Patrick, do what would Christopher Walken say if he was in a haunted house with zombies?
I'm going to kill you, and you're going to die.
I've got a machete.
I'm going to slice your head off your body.
Actually, not a bad Christopher Walken. Well,
thank you.
Oh, please don't egg him on. Although I have to say, that wasn't terrible.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I think people could have understood what that was.
Yeah, I was a little John Travolta in the middle of that, but that's all right.
Little Sly Stallone.
Yeah. Anyway.
So, Paul, how do the haunted houses, how are they better than a typical haunted house that is full of teenagers screaming in your face?
Well, first off, just the production value is absolutely insane. Of course, it's Universal Studios, so they're working on it all year long. This is an incredibly big event that they take very seriously, and it shines. The makeup work, the actors, every facet of it is incredible.
Wow.
And now, we had a friend of ours that gave us a little insight to a couple things. Tell us what they do in Simpsons Land. We were told that there were, like, clowns, and that actually that was one of the scariest parts of the park.
Oh, yeah. Now, I know what you're talking about now. They have scare zones set up in around four or five different places. As you're walking through the park, they have actors set up just to scare you. That's their sole purpose. They'll crank up a chainsaw. They'll pull out their axe, something like that. And it's a fantastic experience because I love horror movies, so I didn't get scared as much, but it's fun watching the teenagers and seeing their reaction.
Especially because most haunted houses you go to or haunted attractions are usually staffed by teenagers that are instructed just to scream in people's faces and to be annoying, and like that's not scary.
The actors were all incredibly devoted because there was my favorite when I was there was one with like classic monsters. They had Jason, they had Michael Myers, they had Carrie from the Carrie films.
Oh, wow.
It was great.
Now, Paul, do you take your fiance on these trips?
Yes, my fiance went with me.
Okay.
Back in 2015. I'm wanting to go again this year. My friends and I are kind of planning a two-day excursion.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Now, do you experience these parks like I do? Because when I go with Kate, everybody leaves me alone and chases after her. Like, they don't really want to scare me or really do. They just want to scare her. Mainly because Kate will scream at the drop of a hat.
But it's fun.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Not because I'm annoying, but because I almost start laughing.
No, I'm not saying that you're annoying, but I'm just saying that you...
Thank you.
And you're not annoying most times.
But hang on. Sidebar. Because usually I'm at the front of the group. Because normally I have, like, my other two friends hanging onto my shirt.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I put my hand out and guide their
way
through it.
My point, though, is they could care less about me. They're just after her.
They do go for the girls.
Yeah.
Actually, interesting thing, because my fiance and I cosplay, we do makeup, we do all that. A lot of times when they try to scare us, it's like, hey, look at your makeup. That's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
Good job. Good on you.
Good job. Wow, you look great.
Yeah, that happens to us at a lot of haunted houses, because Netherworld is here in Atlanta. It's kind of a pretty famous haunted house if you're into that. And even when we walk through that, it's like, wow, your makeup looks fantastic.
Yeah, you do kind of marvel, even just in the regular park, the production value in the ride queue. So I would have to imagine that because all of these things like American Horror Story, they're all big name brands right now, that they, if they're going to be in a park, they have to be well represented. And I have to get down there. That's like on my bucket list.
Yeah. That, my only disappointment with the Halloween Horror Nights this year and the coming years is that they're all licensed houses, like American Horror Story, The Walking Dead, Freddy versus Jason, mm-hmm. and all that. When we were there in 2015, they had a lot of original houses.
Yeah.
That were kind of their own design.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
Yep.
We went to a place in Pittsburgh called the Scare House, and they had actually received the rights to, oh, I can't think of the movie. It was, do you remember what I'm talking about?
Yes. It was
Trick or Treat.
No.
But that was there too.
That was there, but it was the big scare movie from like,
not the Kraken.
Krampus.
Krampus. Release the Krampus. Release the Kraken. No,
for
it was
28 days.
So they actually had props from the movie there. And they had, I mean, everything was inspired by the movie. It wasn't terribly scary,
no,
if I remember correctly.
It was just kind of cool.
But it was cool that they were actually given the green light by these companies, and they were allowed to pull from the movies. But
to be fair, the movie wasn't all that scary either. So.
Oh, God, no. Trick or Treat was kind of scary.
Yeah.
I remember liking that a lot.
Weird.
I love
Krampus. Krampus was fun, though. We actually did an episode on it. It was more fun than I expected it to be.
Yeah.
Wasn't it kind of bad, like in a good way?
I'm going to stop everybody right now.
What's wrong?
Is June, and we are talking about Halloween movies.
Well, you realize what we did last week for our episode because we were out of town. Do you know what I did?
Yes, because I recorded it last week.
No, you didn't. It was a reissue of our favorite Halloween movies.
Oh, well, then this is perfect.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I know. I'm excited for fall beers, but let's not get ahead of ourselves.
No.
We must stop ourselves from having so much fun because Patrick has something for us.
Oh, look at you. Yeah. Well, Paul, we do something on here called the Word of the Podcast. It's basically a word I pick from random off of a website. And our job is to try to slip that word in any way possible. See if we can sneak it in without anybody know.
Get it in.
That's right. See if you can just squeeze it in there.
Poke it in.
Yep. Any way you can get it in there. And as many times as you like, that'd be great. So the Word of the Podcast to be used in any form. What? Were you going to say something?
I say it's not about quantity. It's about quality.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
If you can
right.
get it in once, but you did a really good job at it, you don't need to do it again.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Noted.
NPR.
So, actually, the word of the podcast fits in perfectly because the word of the podcast is whisper.
Whisper. I feel like I already got it in.
Yeah. You kind of did.
I already
so
whispered.
So, any chance you can use that word, that'd be great.
Fit it in.
Yeah.
Pack it in.
Okay.
Shove it in.
Yep, you got it.
Got it. Whisper.
Paul, you got it?
I got it.
Okay.
And I will always do it last.
And best.
And no, that's not even true. I can't even back that up. Well, gentlemen, let's talk about some of the news clips from the week. We had a week full of news clips surrounding the Star Wars universe, which is not anything new. That's something that we've said time and time again on this podcast. But the one that's probably at the forefront of everyone's minds is the new Han Solo film lost its two directors and then gained a new director. So Phil Lord and Chris Miller were the original directors. And I didn't even know this, but apparently the film was almost done shooting.
3/4.
Yeah, like they had weeks left. And then Kathleen Kennedy came out to say that there had been some differences. And the two directors even said, we don't often use the phrase creative differences, but that's exactly what happened here.
Yeah, the webpage I was looking at talked about these two gentlemen, and one of their strengths was being comedy directors.
Right.
And I guess that had something to do with the creative differences.
Which is funny because Han Solo is a funny character.
Right. But if they're going for a certain feel...
Goofball, yeah, versus a little bit more serious, which who knows? I guess we'll find out in time. What was interesting was what I read about the rules governing the Directors Guild. Apparently, you are not allowed to take over for a film if you're currently working on another film. So that kind of leveled the playing field a little bit. And then three names came out for the new director, but the person that won over in the end was Ron Howard.
Cut, print, check the gate, moving on.
Which just came out today.
Yeah,
just released that. Ron Howard obviously is an acclaimed director. I like to think of The Grinch as one of his best features.
Okay.
Angels and Demons.
Angels and Demons, yeah.
Da Vinci Code.
He actually is going to start shooting on July 10th, with the release date still set for May of 2018.
And something else that I read, which is interesting, was that they were saying that this new director may or may not even get credit because the movie was almost done. He's going to be entering into a period where they're going to finish wrapping up the last fourth of the movie, but then also starting with reshoots. So they may or may not say, like, directed by Phil Lord, Chris Miller, and Ron Howard. It may just be the first two because they did the bulk of the work.
Yeah. Paul,
which is interesting.
What do you think about all that, Paul?
I'm not sure how to say this, but I find it kind of wearisome.
Sure.
Just because Disney movies, the same thing happened a few years ago. I don't know if you remember this, but with Edgar Wright on Ant-Man.
Okay.
It's like Disney doesn't want their directors to have too much of their own influence. It's like they kind of want someone that's going to go along with their vision too much. And I think that's going to end up creating movies that kind of feel too much the same.
Interesting. Because
with Han Solo, I think the more comedic direction of Phil Lord and Christopher Miller would have worked well.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that they were saying on the internet is that the general reaction from the public is fear. They're afraid of where this what that means and where the direction's going to go, and there's a lot of worry about it.
Because I was hoping with the spinoffs, Disney would be more willing to take risk since the main entries will always be the moneymakers. I was hoping they'd be more willing to take risk, like Rogue One. Rogue One, I loved.
Well, so. But don't forget, Rogue One went through significant rewrites before it went to the public.
True. It went through some reshoots. That was the worrisome thing from last year, was that we were told that there was a rumor out saying, oh, you know, 3/4 of it's going to be reshot.
Yeah.
And then it was fine.
It was a great
movie. You
loved
it. Patrick loved it.
I absolutely loved it.
I did too, though it was obvious because if you remember watching the trailers, there was some parts in the trailers that didn't make it into the final film.
Right.
Oh, cool.
Sure, sure. So some other interesting news that came out of this, I found an article that talks about, and it actually has a spoiler warning on the article, so I will start by that. The website sources have...
What if I don't want to listen to this?
Then don't listen.
Okay.
The website sources have revealed that there is a new character named Mother Proxima in the young Han Solo movie, likely portrayed by a puppet. Oh. David Chapman, the man behind the droid BB-8, is reportedly operating the character. It is possible that Mother Proxima will be voiced by one of the other cast members.
Okay.
And in addition to that, there's a female character named Val, and that speculates that she will be portrayed by Emilia Clarke. The reasoning behind the speculation is that Val is said to have top billing. However, the film's cast has other actresses equally worthy of top billing, including Thandi Newton. So it's too early to say.
Huh.
Now, the other
big
thing...
You know where we love Thandi Newton from?
She was in Grease.
No. That's Olivia Newton-John.
Sorry.
Thandi Newton was in Westworld. She was the prostitute.
The one in charge of the brothel.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
Also in Mission Impossible 2 or 3, I think. Yeah. One of those forgettable ones.
So the other thing, this article that I found, mm-hmm. which I'll share with you to post,
yes,
talks about is the fact that the movie that is slated to release in May does not have a title.
Han Solo doesn't have a title?
No.
So I think it's Han
my question
Solo.
To the group.
Yeah.
My question to the group, with the possibilities that this story is going to cover, that how he gets and loses the Millennium Falcon, how he meets Chewbacca, and the other spoiler that came out is that it's very possible that Han Solo is not his real name, and there's part of the story about how he gets the name Han Solo. So having said all that, I pose the question to the two of you, what will the title be?
Han Solo, I got a bad feeling about this.
Oh, that's not bad. Paul, what do you think?
They're going to work in Han Solo somehow just because they have to. They're not going to do... make too many obvious changes because they won't have the name recognition instantly. Because Rogue One again was titled Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, to make it clear what it was.
Right.
So imagine Han Solo would do something similar to that.
So do you think it's going to be Han Solo, A Star Wars Story?
Hmm.
I don't think necessarily that, but something similar to that.
I do think that we'll see how he meets Chewbacca, since that the lovely Donna Hume explained to us on the podcast she was on that Chewie owes him a life debt. And that we're going to absolutely see that. I would bet money on it.
All right, Kate. So the next question I have for you is, if Han Solo is not his real name, what is the real name of Han Solo?
Han Duo.
It was just too hard to say.
Han Duo, Han Solo. I think it's Eugene.
Eugene?
Eugene Solo.
Eugene Solo. Yeah. And so why change it to Han?
People kept spelling it wrong. You know, all those different kinds of space languages and dialects. They just kept spelling it wrong. So.
And it was much easier for Chewie to pronounce
Han. The P is actually silent. So Han, 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 Han. What is that? Oh, that's bad lip reading.
Bad lip reading.
We love bad lip reading. Well, I will actually catapult off of that into something I'm very excited about, unless there's anything more you want to say.
Oh, I'm telling you, I will share this article with you because it is, I mean, there's just a ton more to it. We're not going to talk about it, but there is a ton more in this article, which is a very interesting read.
Cool. Well, along with that, this is kind of not really in the same vein as Star Wars, but we're going to move over to the DCEU universe.
Oh, don't use acronyms with me.
DC, it's the DC Extended Universe.
What's DC?
I don't know. What is DC? Paul, do you know what DC means?
Detective Comics.
Is it really?
Son of a gun.
I never knew that.
Yes.
I'm learning something new every day. Anyway, in the DCEU, Justice League has gotten a composer. It's very exciting to the fanboys and girls out there.
Okay.
It's Danny Elfman.
Danny Elfman?
Yeah.
From Simpsons?
From Simpsons.
Pee Wee Herman?
From the original Batman? From Men in Black? From Edward Scissorhands, from any Tim Burton film, really.
Yeah.
So this is really cool because Danny Elfman recently did Age of Ultron in the Marvel Universe. And just the fact that he had already done the original Batman theme.
And I know I've said it before in this podcast, bonus points to either you or Paul that can name the group that Danny Elfman started with. Paul, do you know?
I know it.
I do not.
It would be Oingo Boingo.
Oingo Boingo.
Boingo, boingo. I actually taught my kids in school about Danny Elfman, so I knew that. Okay. Danny Elfman is actually self-taught. He had 0 years of classical training. He taught himself and all these things.
Much like you.
No, I had training. Was not a prodigy by any means. He's scoring the film. And in this article, it also talked a little bit about some of the reshoots that are currently happening, because, you know, the whole thing with the directors changing in that film, too, but that was for different reasons.
Actually, what's funny about that is I actually was privy to a little bit of the music.
Oh, yeah. Let me hear a little snippet.
A little snippet of, this is actually right from Justice League. Please do not let anybody else
listeners,
hear this.
You are in for a treat. We have some audio clips of the unpublished Justice League score brought to you by Patrick.
I can only do one track at a time, but basically the bass does this.
Okay, you keep that going and I'll do the top line.
That's it. That's the new Danny Elfman score. Please don't tell anybody. It's still under wraps.
Yeah, it's very, very. We had that sent to us by an insider in Hollywood. But along with the article, it also says that we are going to be seeing more of Gotham in Justice League.
Didn't we see a lot of it in Batman v Superman?
Yeah.
Or was that
Metropolis? I don't even know. Who cares? We saw a lot of the farmhouse too. Mm-hmm. Martha. A lot of Martha. Martha, Martha, Martha.
Paul, how do you feel about Danny Elfman? Are you a fan?
I'm a huge fan of Danny Elfman, especially since he created the iconic Batman score.
Sure.
So, I mean, as I said, we'll just have to kind of see where it goes, but I trust him. I trust his judgment.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I love that original Batman score. I actually really, really, really love the score from Batman Begins.
Yeah.
That was James Newton Howard. Film score is one of my favorite things in the whole entire world. So I love hearing these kind of things. What?
Oh, boy.
What? Oh, do you want me to tell you where it ranks with you?
No, I really don't.
Why?
I'm afraid of the answer.
Well, just these men have been in my life for longer than you have.
So, going on.
John Williams. James Horner.
Yeah.
Alan Silvestri.
Okay.
Anyway. That's going to be... interesting to hear. He took over. This is actually cool too. He took over for Junkie XL, who scored
Junkie XL.
He has a real name, but who cares? Because Junkie XL is way better.
Way better.
He's actually working on the new Tomb Raider.
There's a new Tomb Raider?
Yeah, and it's with Alicia Vikander, who was in Deus Ex Machina as the Machine. Oh. So this is going to be pretty cool. Yeah. Oh, do you have a little crush on her?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I thought that I'm fully aware of who you have crushes on.
She's a delight.
Who you're allowed to like.
That's right.
That Rachel McAdams.
Yeah, I do like Rachel McAdams.
And Jennifer Lawrence.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Is there anybody else I should know about?
There's plenty. Paul, how do you feel about that?
I've never got into Tomb Raider. Like, I tried to watch the movies, and I was bored out of my mind.
I get that.
I've never seen the one with Angelina.
Then I never played the games, so it's just like, meh.
We played the one for the Xbox. It was pretty darn good.
You liked that a lot.
I loved that game. And there's a new one. I haven't. Let's go get it. Let's go now.
Gotta go. Bye.
Let's scrap this. Let's go play. I'm ecstatic. I love her as an actress. And, okay, so Junkie XL. He did a good job with... He did the Wonder Woman's... The Wonder Woman soundtrack, Patrick. You want to let our guests hear a little snippet of that too?
The Wonder Woman? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
Are you doing the drums or am I doing the
I'll
cello?
I'll do the drums.
Okay. No. That's Danny Elfman. You've done this before. Focus. That's too fast. That was very good.
Yeah, thanks.
That sounds just like it.
Yeah, sure. Put it in, see if we're on the right key.
You know what? YouTube is going to flag us because it sounds like copyright content. Absolutely. Oh, well, anyway. Hey, let's take a little break.
Okay.
You want to take a little break?
Sure, man.
When we come back, we're going to talk about Infinity War. We're going to talk about Cars 3. And we're going to talk a little bit about, The Last Jedi. As if we've never said anything about that before.
Excellent.
So, listeners, sit back, refresh your beverage. We'll be right back.
Hey, Kate.
Hey, Patrick.
Hey, guess who's here?
Who's here?
David Mitchell.
Wait, isn't that guy from Allen Act?
No, Allen Act. Hey, he's here to tell us about his schedule.
His schedule? Like what he does every day?
We want to know his BMs.
Oh, I have two. And I mean number two.
Dave's here to talk about his upcoming schedule for Allen Act.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Tell us all about your spring schedule for All in Act Theater.
Our spring schedule has some really great stuff coming up. First of all, we are opening in April 28th through May with Ken Ludwig's fantastic, hilarious farce, Lend Me a Tenor, followed by our student production in June of William Shakespeare's classic Romeo and Juliet.
I hear that's a comedy.
I'm sure it has funny moments.
What else are you guys doing?
Oh, well, we're following that up in September, October with Sleuth, followed by The Crucible by Arthur Miller, and we're ending the year with Ray Cooney's hilarious farce, Tom, Dick, and Harry.
If anybody wanted to go find out more information about All in Act or the upcoming productions, where might they go?
Oh, you might go to www.allinact.net. Not Allen's Act, All in Act, allanact.net. All in Act Theater is located at 652 West 17th Street in Erie, Pennsylvania. A dollar of every admission is donated to Community Shelter Services and helps Erie's homeless. We are located at 652 West 17th Street, Erie, PA. You can also get us at allinact.net. To date, we have raised over $39,000 for Erie's homeless.
That's fantastic.
You can also find All in Act on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And they are also proud sponsors of See, Here's the Thing.
Erie's best entertainment value. Theater lives here.
Hey everybody, this is Steven.
And this is Chris.
And we're the hosts of the brand new podcast, Is This Adulting?
Every week, we're going to sit down to have a discussion about life, culture, our own mental health struggles, and just about anything you can think of.
Have you ever wondered which breakfast cereal's the best?
Or how to help your friends who are dealing with mental illness?
Or why waterbeds were a thing?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, then have we got a show for you.
And remember, kids, be happy, stay healthy, and go hug someone.
Because you never know, they might just be starting a podcast.
Hey, my name's Paul, and I'm not an animal expert.
I'm Donna, and I'm not an animal expert either.
And together we do a podcast about animals called Varmints.
Every week we pick an animal, do a bunch of research on it, and bring you some interesting facts about that animal.
But we don't stop there. We talk about that animal in movies, TV, and other pop culture.
And we talk about whether or not that animal would make a tasty dish, and how intelligent we think it is on the scale of 1 to 10.
It's exactly like one of those fancy PBS nature documentaries.
except with more poo jokes.
New episodes go live every Thursday wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Or you can visit us at blazingcariboustudios.com.
Varmints! Varmints!
When we were in Disney, we saw a brand new concert, and it was the music of Pixar. Mm-hmm. And it was Michael Giacchino, it was Thomas Newman and Randy Newman. And it's amazing.
Is that how you pronounce his name? Have I been pronouncing his name wrong?
I think so.
Newman?
Giacchino.
Oh, okay.
Giacchino. I could be wrong. Giacchino. Giacchino. Maybe it is Giacchino, because is there an H?
There's Giacchino.
Then
so I don't know.
Giacchino.
It's Italian.
Yeah, Giacchino. It's a hard C.
Okay.
That was my nickname in college.
We're not recording.
I'm a hard C. Where should we go from here? Infinity War, my friends.
We're back.
I figured we already were back.
Oh, okay. We're back.
We've been back.
Okay.
Infinity War. It's going to be a huge film. We already know this. Yeah. It's going to be gigantic, ginormous. Do you want to guess how many characters are in the movie?
Infinity War?
How many Marvel characters? Yeah.
Marvel characters.
Well, yeah, it's a Marvel movie.
I'm going to say 2.
You are not correct.
Paul, what's your guess?
32.
More than that.
32.
Mm. It's actually 67.
67?
If you were worried about oversaturation, you may have a valid worry. But according to Scarlett Johansson, there is one scene where there's 32 characters involved. I'm not just talking like extras. I'm pretty sure she meant like 32 named characters, which is ridiculous.
So, Kate, what are some of the lesser known characters that are going to be in this movie?
Danny Elfman-Man, who annihilates his foes just by singing his songs in their face.
I have two.
You do?
Yeah, I have two.
Okay.
There's going to be Hammerclaw.
Hammerclaw?
Yeah.
Okay, what does he do?
Hammerclaw's got a ball-peen hammer he carries around. And a claw on the other hand from the television show Claws.
Okay. Oh, so he's got like long nails.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
What does he do? Like, what's his super attack?
He will scratch your eyes out and then ball peen your kneecaps.
I would think you could get away from him pretty easily.
Yeah. Just walk away from him unless you've already been hit.
Okay.
And then the other one would be whisper tones.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And what does that person do? You son of a bitch. Got that word of the day in.
Whisper tones. He says things like, "I'm gonna make a gravity belt."
Again, we're giving bad lip reading a lot of love this week.
Sorry. So he would whisper things, but then he could knock.
I can see it because he'd whisper it. They go, "What did you say?" And they get closer, and then he'd call on ball peen hammer dude, or what's his
claws.
Name? Hammer claws. Hammer time.
Yes,
that's the fourth character. Hammer time. He just does the hammer back and forth. He's a diversion.
That's right.
As we've learned that you said at one point that your superhero power would be to hide under a rock.
Yeah, that's right. With moss
and wait until the battle is done.
That's right.
Very important. So yeah,
actually, I'm going to ask Paul because I want to know if you had a superpower Paul, what would it be?
Ridiculously awesome charm.
Oh,
that'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
That would also fall into the category of diversion, I think.
Yeah. That actually would be a phenomenal power.
Charm the pants off everybody.
Yeah. You don't want to kill me.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't want to kill you. Oh, you're right.
I wouldn't have to fight. I could take down Thanos just by talking. It would be great.
Yeah, that's the movie I want to see. Two and a half hour movie of you having a conversation with Thanos and him just...
You have pretty eyes.
And him just like starting to cry because he has so many daddy issues. and just him throwing the whole Infinity Gauntlet into space for someone else to find it. And that's the movie I want to see.
Yeah, starring Paul Combs.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'd watch it.
So to go from that to another movie that just debuted, Cars 3 came out last week, and I actually got a chance to see it
while
in Disney. That's how I normally see my films.
I know.
I actually got to go to a AMC dine-in theater, which is where all the seats have a little table in front of them, and you have a little bell, and you can call a waiter, and they come down and
take a little bell.
Yeah, well, it's not like a ding 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 bell.
It's not a ding 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 bell.
It's a silent bell, like only they can see it.
Oh, it's like so they're all dogs.
It's your dog, yes. You can hear it. It's very high pitched. You shut up.
That's awesome. Yes, the thought of that is phenomenal.
Is it like a whisper?
Oh, Paul. See. Damn it. God damn it. Now I'm last again. Anyway, so you know I'm going to get the word whisper in the next 30 seconds. That's how I do it.
That's it.
No, so you press this bell and it alerts your waiter. They come down and they sit like a good boy and...
You rub their head.
Good waiter. And they take your order, and they come back and bring your food to your table while the movie's on. Yeah, our waitress was not very good.
No.
Our milkshake was lukewarm.
She did not bring it to the...
Actually, I hate those theaters. I do.
Do you?
They distract me from the movie.
We don't have anything.
It was
like
my
that.
First time with it, and it wasn't distracting because maybe we were in the first row, and there was like nobody in front of us, so it wasn't terrible, but our waitress was awful. It was terrible, but I enjoyed myself.
So tell us about the movie.
Cars 3 was not the best Pixar movie out there. The script lacked some of the new characters, the new voice talent, just didn't really stick out. Like you think about your favorite voiceovers from celebrities, Billy Crystal in Monsters, Inc., Tom Hanks in Toy Story. This one had new people, but they really weren't memorable.
Yeah.
They really, really weren't.
You said there were problems with the script.
There were a lot of issues. It wasn't as funny as the other ones have been. But one of the things that I read this week, which would have been so funny, but they couldn't find a way to fit it in because the script took a detour after some rewrites. They were going to fit in the old Batmobile and the new Batmobile into the film as if they were actors in the Cars world.
Oh.
I thought, well, how cool would that have been just to have that little kind of Easter egg? Because that's kind of what the movie missed. Not necessarily Easter eggs, but just... little winks every now and then.
Sure.
The funny wasn't very funny.
Well,
the
true.
Ending redeemed it. I liked the ending quite a bit, and I won't spoil it for those of you that have never seen it.
They all die.
They all crash in a fiery inferno.
It's about the only way I would watch a Cars movie again.
Right?
Yeah. And the one red car, as he's dying, whispers to the other yellow car, Rosebud. That's how it ends. And then Danny Elfman comes in and scores the ending of it.
Okay.
It's been I don't know, 10 minutes since we've talked about Star Wars.
Let's talk about it.
Let's bring it back. Yeah. So a few episodes ago, we talked about how Mark Hamill had come out saying that he was not happy with the direction that Rian Johnson had taken with Luke in The Last Jedi.
Correct.
He has since come back out of the closet to say that he needed to clarify what was said because it was kind of taken out of context. So here's the actual quote. Rian Johnson is an amazing filmmaker, and if you look at Brick or Brothers Bloom or Looper, each film is different from the last one, and they're so inventive. I think people will be pleased and surprised. I know I was. I got in trouble because I was quoted as saying to Rian that I fundamentally disagree with everything you decided about Luke, and it was inartfully phrased. What I was surprised at how he saw Luke. And it took me a while to get around to his way of thinking, but once I was there, it was a thrilling experience. Good. I hope it will be for the audience, too.
See, the headline, when we saw the article, the headline did not match up to the article with me. And because you and I had a debate about that, because you and I had different opinions on it, because you were like, no, he was upset. And I was like, I didn't really read that in the article. The headline said that,
yeah,
but the article didn't really support it.
So along with this, there have been some rumors... Because some of the toy sets are now appearing on the scene, and especially in foreign countries, they're getting these Lego sets that have come out, and some may have some hints as to what we're going to expect in The Last Jedi, because there's one set that comes with a TIE fighter, Kylo Ren, and Mark Hamill, or Luke Skywalker. So people are like, Mark Hamill and Kylo Ren are going to have a big, big epic battle, and it's going to involve a TIE fighter. It's like... Well, maybe that's a possibility. So what say you to this? Is this movie going to lead up to a big battle between the two?
I think it kind of has to, just by what was introduced in episode 7. Because Kylo Ren was a student of Mark Hamill. At a certain point, they are going to have to resolve that, which means the battle.
Do you think that Mark Hamill is going to die in Last Jedi?
No.
If he does, I will flip tables. Like all of them. All of the tables.
All the tables will be turned over and flipped.
If you go back and look at the canon, and you look at 4, and you see the parallels between 4 and 7, if they keep the same parallels between 5 and 8. You're going to see more build-up, more reveal, but you're not going to get a lot of resolution out of this movie.
You know that whenever they face off, it's going to be like the best part of the movie.
See,
you don't think so? Because we're going to see Luke in action again. That's going to be the best thing.
My gut tells me that we're not going to see Luke fight.
No?
No.
Oh, come on. Maybe not till the next one.
Maybe not till the next one.
I'm thinking it's all going to build up to a battle of Rey versus Kylo Ren and then Luke versus Snoke.
Ooh.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, interesting. We may not see that until episode 9, but I do think that's the eventuality.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, like I said, if they follow their formulas, there won't be a lot of resolution to this movie.
Yes.
It'll just build up.
Oh, like you've said with the second movie of the series, there's always a little bit of vagueness at the end.
Yeah.
Not sure what's going to happen. There's always a big heel turn. And
right.
Yeah, just think about how Empire ended with Han captured and the abject failure of the mission, basically.
Right.
So something's going to fail, which is why I think Mark Hamill's going to bite it.
Well, here's the other thing to think about. There was a lot of love for Rogue One. Not Rogue One. For
Empire.
Seven.
Oh, Force Awakens.
There was Absolutely. A lot of love for Force Awakens. But what was the one criticism?
It was too much like A New Hope.
Right. So if they take that to heart and they understand that that was a big complaint, maybe they won't follow the same formula.
But well, that's an inherent issue of trilogies. Is the in the second issue, nothing's ever resolved.
Correct.
So, I mean...
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. I'll be very excited. I stand by my original feeling is that Luke is going to be part of the middle. He is not going to be part of the good side or the dark side. I think he's going to find the middle of the Force.
Interesting.
Well, I think the good side and the dark side are going to kind of be revamped in the movie anyway. I don't want to talk too much about my own personal theories, but... I just think our thoughts on the Jedi and the Sith are going to remarkably change in the coming film.
I agree.
Interesting. Well, let's detour a little bit from the world of movies. Let's go into TV just for a brief second, just to kind of say, hey, everybody, 4 weeks to go until Game of Thrones.
And actually, before we dive into that, I'm going to segue for you.
You're going to segue?
I'm going to segue.
Why?
Because in the Han Solo movie, Emilia Clarke, who is in Game of Thrones, is also in it. And in the article that I have, it says that she is even more tight-lipped.
About Game of Thrones?
And she has said... No, about Han Solo movie.
Oh, okay.
And she has said, like, you know how I am about Game of Thrones? I'm 10 times more about this movie. Cool. Like, I don't talk about... And I've been, like, it's the fear of God has been put in us.
Well, it's the fear of Mickey Mouse.
Well, Disney will probably literally murder people that talk about Seriously. Their film too soon.
So Emilia Clarke will not speak about Game of Thrones or Han Solo.
Well, especially because, what was it, Pirates of the Caribbean 5? Someone claimed that they had, like, the early version of it, and we're going to release it.
Is that the one with the mermaids?
No, that's 4.
Okay. So
is that the one with Johnny Depp?
Four weeks ago until Game of Thrones.
4 weeks to go.
To go.
Not to go.
And then we have 7 episodes?
6, I think. 6.
Paul, are you a fan?
I am a huge fan. I've seen every episode at least once.
Yep.
And I've watched the new trailer probably 20 times.
Oh, right.
Looking
it's so
for
good.
Hints and everything. I am a huge fan.
Yep.
I love how well they've built the universe, because you can pick up any episode and kind of have a feel for what's happening.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yep.
I'll never forget.
It's masterful, the universe they've built.
Yeah, yes. I'll never forget the first time watching that and just being... It felt so much like a movie. And to think that they put that kind of quality into every episode is just phenomenal.
Yeah, my biggest fear with the last 2 seasons are the buildup. Because you know, we're going to delay the start for Game of Thrones because we need to wait for winter and blah, blah, blah. And I feel like there's just so much, only 2 seasons left. I feel like there's so much buildup that it could crash.
Yeah.
I don't know. But the next season is what worries me, because a lot of it looks like it's going down this coming season, just based on the trailers. It's like, okay, well, where do they go from here? Can they keep it interesting, or will it just be a war?
Right.
Because I don't want to watch just a war for 6 or 7 episodes.
Yep.
Well, I'm excited. What is it, like June 9th or June 7th? Do you remember the date?
It's teens. Isn't it in the teens?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And Patrick actually just pulled something else up today that I saw. Jurassic World, the sequel to Jurassic World, they came out today to say that the subtitle is Fallen Kingdom, which is interesting. What else are they going to pull out of the bag of tricks? I have no idea. They've done the whole There's Another Island plot line several times. Yeah. So to think of what they're going to do next, I have no idea. Paul, do you even know anything about it?
I don't. I'm just meh about the whole Jurassic Park thing. Jurassic World was okay. Like, it did some things, but Chris Pratt is kind of just bland. I don't know.
I liked him.
You are going to upset a lot of our female listeners if you go down this path, Paul. I'm just telling you right now.
He can have his opinion.
He can, but man, boy, there's a lot of eye candy and a lot of women are...
Well, I mean, I'm not disacknowledging the fact that he is eye candy. I'm just saying he's bland. He's charming. He's just kind of bland.
Yeah.
I liked him a lot in that movie. I kind of felt like the movie was okay. I did not like how derpy it was at times and how cheesy some of the humor was, because the first one felt, at least to my 8-year-old self, felt so serious that these dinosaurs could exist.
The first one holds up so much better than the new one. Because my friends and I recently did a rewatch, watching them back to back.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And the first one is just still fantastic. While the new movie just feels dated already.
Yeah, I feel like that the stereotypes in the new one were way too comical, and that the characters in the first one had more of a, they were more rooted into the ground. They could stand on their own, and these characters were way too. The fact that she had those heels on was running through the jungle with same formula with the kids and blah blah blah. But anyway,
interestingly enough, my favorite thing about Jurassic World is kind of dumb. But I love how well they built an amusement park. Because watching Jurassic World, it actually felt like you were at an amusement park.
Yeah.
Like the midway that they walked through, I was like, holy crap.
That is true.
It could work.
That's Young Frankenstein. Well, we actually played the Lego version of Jurassic World, and that was so much fun. I love those games, and they really did a good job with Jurassic World.
Oh yeah, completely.
What do you got there, Patrick?
Somebody on the tweet that says Jurassic World: Fallen Kingdom, Life Finds a Way. The first comment is Samuel L. Jackson GIF saying,
"Hold on to your butts."
Hold on to your butts, which he reused in Kong Skull Island. Remember?
Yeah, yep.
They had that. I don't like that. I don't like when they blatantly cross reference another movie that an actor has been in, and it's so obvious. Yeah. I don't like that at all. Yeah. Know what I do like?
Tell me.
Video games.
Go on.
Atari. Did you ever play Atari?
Oh, God. Are you kidding me?
No, I'm asking you seriously.
Lordy. My family would not buy gaming consoles. Would not. Refused.
Why not?
We never had the money for them. We never had the money for gaming. I always went to friends' house to play gaming consoles.
Aww.
With the exception of the Atari 2600.
You owned that.
We owned that and played. I have somewhere in the world is a photo of my high score on Pitfall, because I had broken some kind of
Skyfall?
Universal record for, because I played it for like 20 hours at one point. But
you hold a world record.
No, but at the time I felt really good about myself.
Okay.
Anyway, so somewhere in the world that there's that photo, but name a game on Atari and I probably have played it.
Pong.
Never played it.
Really?
No, I'm kidding.
Well, anyway, you're going to be excited about this one. Atari is going to come out with a new gaming console.
Jeez, oh man. So, will the old game still work?
We don't know a lot of details yet, but we do know that they tried to do a console called Jaguar in 1993 that didn't work.
No.
And the only statement from the CEO is that he said, "We're back in the hardware business."
Wow.
So there you go.
I cannot wait to see how they redo... Space Invaders.
Oh, they should probably will have like a huge narrative to it, and
yeah, it'll be not 8-bit. I hope.
When they said it, I'm honestly not expecting like a new console. Remember the Nintendo Classic and the success that had?
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm thinking it's going to be more like that. Like, hey, play all these great games in your own home, kind of thing.
I don't know. I don't think they can make an announcement like that and not come up with something new. My opinion.
Yeah, well, go ahead, Paul.
I'm just skeptical because all the other big properties like Xbox have their exclusives, PlayStation has their exclusives, so they're going to be competing against these established guys. So they have to do something that, well, they can do. And I don't know if they can compete if they build everything from the ground up.
Yeah.
If they try to create all these new games that everybody's going to want to play versus the Uncharted or versus the Mortal Kombat or versus the Tekken, whatever you want to play. So.
Yeah, I'm going to be watching that one very carefully with a very careful eye, cynical eye, if it will.
Along with that, this is something from my past. Sega has brought retro games back to iOS and Android for free. So they are releasing, they're re-releasing Sonic the Hedgehog, Phantasy Star 2, Comic Zone, Kid Chameleon, and Altered Beast that you can play on iOS and Android. They are all free, but you can remove the in-game ads for a measly $2.50.
Sonic Dash. There it is.
Sonic Dash, that's not necessarily the game, though.
Sonic Dash 2, Sonic Boom.
Unless you're able to play all the iterations of Sonic on this new Sega Forever. But did you play Sega games, Paul?
I never did. I was always Nintendo, and then once PlayStation 2 came out, I've been a PlayStation gamer since. Okay. So I never really got into Sonic or anything like that.
I actually, Patrick was talking about how he had to go to friends' houses. My next-door neighbors started off with the Nintendo, the classic Nintendo, and then I think I had it at one point. I know I did. And then I got the Sega, and they went more towards the next Nintendo series. And I had the Sega for a while. So I definitely played Sonic the Hedgehog. And I'm pretty sure Altered Beast was an arcade game. You could just play at any arcade. Played all the Sonic games. Sonic 1, 2, 3. Even Sonic Spinball, which was a stupid game, but kind of fun in hindsight. So the fact that these are back on your phone is pretty cool. I actually got a text from my next door neighbor saying, oh my God, look at our favorites are back on our phones. And wow. It's just, I love how these retro games are coming back. We pulled out our N64 like a few weeks ago and have been playing Mario 64 and GoldenEye. And I just love that you're seeing a resurgence in these classic games. And I really hope that when Universal makes their Nintendo Land, they do stuff with the older games, because I do feel like that there still is quite a crowd for that.
Yeah. I hope that Universal gets away from their tired old routine.
Which is a 3D.
3D, put the glasses on, sit in a car, the car is going to bounce around.
Well, and that's Jimmy Fallon. The new Jimmy Fallon ride, Race Through New York, is exactly that.
Yeah.
And I was kind of disappointed because I thought with all the new technology, it felt very much like just the other ones.
Yep.
Kind of disappointing,
yeah.
But oh well. Actually, you know what? I don't know how you feel about this, but do you think that a classic movie could still make a good contemporary ride?
I'm trying to think about a movie that could pull it off.
Like, think about the classic Batman with Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
If that was if that had a ride based around it, would it do well? Danny Elfman making the big bucks.
I really don't think so.
No,
I really can't see it.
Well, I mean, you know, you think about what Disney is doing with Hollywood Studios.
Yeah.
They're going to build rides around Star Wars. I mean, there's going to be a Millennium Falcon ride. There's going to be my fear is it's going to be green screen with 3D glasses, and you're going to be bounced around in a car.
To be fair, though, Disney does not have nearly the volume of those type of rides versus Universal.
No, they do not.
And they could definitely amp up their park with a few of those, and I'd be fine with it. Because I just feel like they need to go above and beyond. Look, they did well with Pandora.
Yeah.
They exceeded expectations tenfold. So I feel like if they saw how successful that ride was, keep that technology in these new rides.
Yeah, I'd rather ride a roller coaster.
Well, you can actually do that with some 3D. Did you know that?
Yeah.
SeaWorld in Orlando has a new roller coaster. Actually, they revamped it. It's called Maku. It's based off of the idea of a shark. And the riders ride a roller coaster while they have virtual reality goggles on.
Puke.
You could puke because of that.
I tried that at Six Flags. The Six Flags over Georgia and Atlanta.
Oh, yeah?
They tried something similar. But the VR isn't quite there yet, so it was so low res, it was just bad.
Oh.
It was awful.
Yeah, I'd be afraid.
That's disappointing.
I'd be feared of that.
I love roller coasters.
Me too.
You should go again on a vacation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Let's go right now.
Okay.
Let's go to Halloween Horror Nights. Right? Well, anyway, Paul, please tell our listeners again where they can find you. Tell us about your podcast. Tell us about where you're at on social media. So just in case our listeners want to tune into a new show, they can.
Well, I'm half of the CNC Geekcast. We bill ourselves as the only podcast where two guys with speech impediments talk about movies.
It's a great, great niche.
Well, actually, this may sound dumb, but I've always been in speech therapy. I've always had issues with the way I talk, and I got made fun of it kind of constantly.
Aw.
So this is my way of owning it. It took 30 years, but I'm kind of like, hey, this is my thing. I know I'm not the kind of person that probably should have a podcast, but I want to do this, and I'm going to own my defectiveness, I guess you could say.
Wow, I know. Well, there's a couple things you said there that I'm not a big fan of. It's not a defectiveness. It's not at all a defectiveness. I would never call it a defectiveness. It's who you are, and it's what you are, and it there's absolutely nothing wrong or unusual about it.
You just sound Southern to me. That's not defective.
That is accurate.
is that your defectiveness about your speech? Is that you have a Southern accent?
And they're all our Southern listeners.
Oh, crap. Not Ghana.
Not Ghana.
Not Somalia.
No, yeah, that is too bad that you got made fun of. That really is, because it is not, that's not the way it should be.
But it's also fun because my partner Joseph and I, I've watched a ton of movies with a guy. And we used to always come out of the theater and we would talk about, hey, what did you think of this film? And we would just talk about it for 30, 45 minutes. So our goal was to capture that.
Sure.
Like, hey, what did you think of this movie we just watched? But we kind of try to focus on movies we like or movies that are more recent. Because it's not fun to just hate on something. There's everybody on the internet is just hating on stuff.
Yeah.
There's so many channels you can find just, I hate this, I hate that. So we talk about what we love about specific movies. Other than Batman vs. Superman, we did an episode on that and it was awful. Yeah.
That was our first episode,
yeah,
Paul.
That was our first episode.
It was our very first. We've come such a long way. Yeah.
It was actually our second episode.
That's funny.
Well, where can people find you?
At cncgeekcast.podbean.com, facebook.com/cncgeekcast, twitter.com/cncgeekcast, and pretty much everywhere else podcasts are found. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music. I've tried to get us everywhere, so hopefully they can find us everywhere just by searching CNC Geekcast.
And you can get with them on... That sounded bad. You can get with them. You can find them on Facebook, too. They have a great page. They're everywhere in social media, like he just said. So before we wrap up today, before we put this one to bed, we're going to feature a few iTunes reviews from our show, because we love to get these reviews and we love to share them with you. So first things first, this creative listener, see our show is See Here's the Thing. The name of his review was The Thing Is... .. I like that. This is from someone with the screen name Not As Nice As I Sound.
Well,
which sets up a really great review.
Sure.
But he did say, the thing is, this is a great show. A really wide range of topics and fantastic conversations with fun hosts.
Yay.
We also got one from Big Brother B, and it was titled Little Bit of This, Little Bit of That. It makes the perfect recipe for pop culture podcast. And honestly, anyone who'll talk about Quigley Down Under is A-okay in my book. That is Chris from the More Gooder Than podcast.
Yeah, thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Chris. And you should check out their show, too. Again, it's called the More Gooder Than podcast. It's a very interesting take. They have three gentlemen that take a different approach to a different film each week. And again, another pop culture podcast.
Fantastic.
We're very many of us out there doing pop culture stuff.
A lot of good stuff.
Lots of great stuff. Well, this wraps up another episode. Should I do an NPR closing?
Yeah, you should whisper the closing.
This wraps up another episode of the See Here's the Thing, the show where pop culture and humor collide. And anyway, listeners, thank you again for tuning in. We want to thank Paul,
Yay.
Coming all the way from CNC Geekcast to hang out with us for about an hour.
Thanks for having me.
We will be back next week. We're actually going to be out of town again. We're just trying to get away from home this summer. But no, we're actually going to be at a theater competition in Minnesota for an entire week. So next week, you're going to get a chance to hear our take on the classic Batman and Robin film, which is not so classic. But it was fun to listen to and watch, and you can kind of hear our thoughts on that film in our next episode. So once again, you can find us at seeheresthething.com, any place on social media, and any popular podcast distribution website. So thanks for tuning in, and we will talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
See, Here's the Thing is brought to you by All in Act Theater, Grisé Audiovisual, and our Patreon sponsors, TJ, Megan, and Judy.